And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Who's on the line?
This is George from Palmer Golf Course.
George, welcome. I've been wondering what's been happening out there at the golf course. So are you on the course now? Are you looking at it? What are you doing out there?
I am on the course right now. I'm watering fairways and greens and tee boxes, and things are looking good. It's already gotten very green.
Well, I've noticed that in our own yard. I'm looking out the window across at the depot grass, and it's turning green as well. So let's talk a little bit more in detail. First of all, when did the golf course open, or when did the first people start being able to go about and play golf?
We opened on March 26th this year, which is one of our earliest openings ever.
Oh.
And we were able to open on all 18 holes. And within a week, we were on all 18 greens, and that's really quick for Alaska golf.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think this past winter, which was so different, I mean, than the previous 2 years, what is the long-term effect of that kind of no-snow year on the golf course?
For the golf course, it's great. We didn't have much winter kill. There wasn't much standing water and ice, although we went through a couple pretty heavy-duty rainstorms. I know one in January for sure dumped a lot of rain, but we were fortunate enough that it dried out before it froze up, so we didn't have standing puddles that froze up and didn't get that glacier effect, and it didn't kill the grass, so... Tee to green, this golf course is the best I've ever seen it early.
Okay. Now, you say you've been watering. I've noticed we've had a little bit of dampness, but not a lot of rain here coming down. Are you anticipating right at this point that your watering is going to be heavier than usual or about the same?
It's probably about the same. We usually try to get the water on and water pretty heavy, especially in the spring, trying to get things to green up and start growing and get healthy. So we pour it on pretty heavy, and then probably within a couple weeks, we should go automated on our irrigation system, which allows it to run in the evenings overnight, and it's way more efficient than me going around with a radio and radioing on the heads on the fairways, tees, and greens. So looking forward to that. That should happen soon.
Okay, well, Tell listeners a bit more about that. So I have this image of you in a cart going around with a radio, and you're looking and saying, oh, okay, that needs a little bit, and you punch a few buttons, and sure enough, the sprinkler starts. Is that what happens?
Yeah, basically. There's about 36 irrigation towers around the golf course, and they are set to either water the greens, the tees, or the fairways. So you learn all the codes, which I have them all memorized, and that took probably just one summer to get them memorized. And so you punch in a code that activates a tower, and then you select the heads that you want to run, and it could be heads 1 through 16 on a fairway. And so you'll do something we call syringing. So you'll put in the code, and then you'll put in 1 through 16, and it'll turn on one head at a time. They'll run for about 5 minutes, and then they'll switch on their own to the next head down the line.
Wow.
You can do the same thing on the tees and on the greens.
That is fascinating. I can tell you already that this conversation has produced new knowledge for me that I had never appreciated about. Somehow I had the sense that someone was turning a valve, et cetera. How long has that system been in play?
We replaced our irrigation system back in probably 2011 through 2013. We upgraded to a new Toro system, which is something that's used around the world. It's a pretty common, popular irrigation system. We also had to replace the pump itself, the submersible pump, a few years back, and also got a new VFD, which is the computer that controls things and senses if something's wrong and shuts the pump down if there's a problem. So all of that happened probably in the last 15 years.
Okay.
So it's all relatively new.
And where does the water come from that you use to irrigate?
We have a well over by the clubhouse. There's a well. It goes down about 110 feet to about 120 feet. It's a pretty good aquifer, so we draw water out of that. We have one of the largest submersible pumps in the state. It's a 75-horsepower submersible pump, so it's pretty strong, and it can pump a lot of water in a hurry.
That's impressive. Very, very much so. Well, let's look forward then and say you've been in operation since sometime in March. Yesterday, I had a report from someone who went out there because it started out being such a nice day, but then they retreated to the clubhouse because the winds came up. Talk a little bit about when the winds become so strong that it becomes difficult to play.
Well, usually it's kind of what you can tolerate. Some people can get out there and they can play and it's blowing 40 miles an hour, and it might bother them a little bit, but they can handle it. As we all get older, we tolerate less.
I agree.
Of that, I know I do. I used to go out and play in pretty much any weather, and now if it's blowing more than 20 miles an hour, I might not be out there playing golf if it's cold. So it's all what people can tolerate. Alaskans are pretty tough. And, of course, our golf season's short, so people are going to get out there and they're going to play golf unless it's just unplayable, which usually if it gets probably starts to get over 40 miles an hour, it starts to get unplayable. The ball doesn't want to behave on the greens. It starts moving around and things like that. And, you know, and people will pretty much tell us when it's unplayable because the course will empty out. We won't have anybody playing golf.
Okay, got that. Well, let's talk about events coming up, because I know through the season there are a variety of events. So we're looking at finishing up May and rolling into June. What kind of tournaments or other types of play are happening other than the normal?
Well, one of the big things we got coming up is we have the U.S. Open qualifier next Monday, May 19th. And that one is something we've hosted for quite a few years because we're one of the few golf courses in the state that can be ready for it. You know, we can be open, we can be on all greens and have reasonable playing conditions this early in the year. So that event this year has 15 players who are trying to qualify for one spot, and they select a site to go to sectionals somewhere down in the lower 48. And if they get through that stage, they go right to the U.S. Open, which is one of the fastest routes to get to a major championship.
Okay. All right. Very good. And in addition to that, after Monday, what do you have coming up?
The next one we have on June 1st is Colony Baseball. They're doing a fundraiser for the high school baseball team. And then the following weekend after that, we have the Alaska Golf Association Spring Jackpot. That'll bring about 120 to 140 golfers out. It's a team event, two-person teams. And then on that following Sunday, we have the Palmer Elks Tournament, this year dedicated to Bob Stoll, who passed away this winter. So those are probably the next closest big events.
Okay.
Eventually, we'll have our Midnight Sun Tournament, which I believe is on Saturday, June 21st. That's a two-person team scramble, kind of a fun one. We tee off at 4 o'clock in the evening, and so that's always a fun one. One of the tournaments we run in house.
Okay.
And then there's just a lot of other golf tournaments throughout the summer. Probably too many to mention right now.
Okay, we'll pick them up at the next time we have a chance to talk. But in the meantime, let's remind listeners of the operation hours for the golf course and then maybe costs and way to reduce costs.
Sure, yeah. Well, right now, our first tee time is 8 in the morning, and we are closing up at 9 o'clock. Clubhouse closes at 9. Carts and rental clubs have to be in at 9 o'clock. If you have your own equipment you don't have one of our carts and you don't have any of our rental clubs, you can play later, you know, until dark. So people that are walking or have their own push carts, they can stay out later. We're going to go to full hours Memorial weekend. We'll be 7 a.m. for the first tee time, close the clubhouse at 10, and equipment's due in at 10 o'clock. And then as far as the pricing, right now we're on a little bit of a reduced rate. We're $40 for green fees for regular adults. Power carts are $20 per rider. And we do a thing called Twilight Tuesdays, and All Day Tuesdays is our Twilight price. It's $25 green fees. And, you know, that $25 is something that we do every day starting at 4 o'clock. So okay. That's our Twilight price at 4 o'clock. And then on top of that, trying to save money, if you play quite a bit of golf, you might consider a punch card, a five-round playing punch card to get you five rounds of golf. $180 for a regular adult, $160 for a senior. And, you know, those are good any time. You can use them pretty much any time. They can be shared with your playing partners. And it saves you a decent amount. I think it saves about $10 per round. And then, of course, we have season passes for the people that are really avid golfers. So a season pass for a regular adult is $850. Seniors is $800. We have a family pass for $1,175, and we have a senior family pass for $1,125. So, really good deals if you like to play a lot of golf. That's the way to go.
Got it. Okay, Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. I'm speaking with George Collum, who runs the golf course and has done so for how many years now?
This is my 25th year at the golf course, and I've been running it for, I believe this is my 19th year as a manager.
Okay, congratulations. Let's just finish up here, George, by saying each year there, I know you've made improvements, you've made some changes. You're looking forward to making an ever better experience at the golf course. What are there any new features that we should alert listeners to, things that have happened that have changed or you're still working on?
Yeah, well, last year we were fortunate enough the city was able to purchase 50 carts from Moose Run Golf Course, some of their club cars that they were getting rid of because they had purchased 170 new Yamaha carts. So that was a great deal for us. It really helped our cart fleet. That was one of our big complaints, is that the carts weren't very good. And now we got these carts that are much newer and in very good running order. So that was probably one of the big changes in recent years. This year, we're working on, you know, improving sand traps, improving fairways. Those are kind of probably two of our big focal points this year. But the golf course is in, you know, it's a good golf course. It's got a challenge for everybody. It's got five sets of tees. So if you're a beginner or you're a senior lady or a junior, there's a set of tees for them. There's the red tees for generally played by lady golfers or senior men. And then we got gold tees for senior men, white tees for the regular guys, and blue tees for the championship players. But, you know, it's depending on your ability, how good you are, you can play any set of tees you want. Doesn't matter, you know, what your gender is, you can play from any tee box.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Now, I know you've played a lot of golf, and I'm not sure I remember ever asking, but have you been fortunate enough to have a hole-in-one on any course?
Yes, I did make a hole-in-one on 4th of July in 1988 at Eagle Glen Golf Course, which was the Air Force course
right.
In Anchorage that closed about 10, 12 years ago. It was during a tournament, and, hit a good shot and spun left and went right in the hole. And it was a surprise, and I've never had one since. And I've had a lot of close calls, you know, hitting flag sticks. And
sure, right.
Flipping out and all those things. But, yeah, it's about 90% luck and probably 10% skill.
Okay, well, so, let me just ask you this. Can you remember your feeling when that happened and you realized that you'd actually had a hole-in-one?
I would say my feeling was disbelief. I saw the ball go in the hole, but I didn't believe it until I walked up and looked in the hole and got the ball out of the hole. It was just one of those things that you just are
right.
really shocked, especially your first one. You just can't believe it. And then you see the ball in the hole, and then, you know, the realization kicks in that you actually did it, and you're super excited, and then you're going to save that golf ball and put it on your shelf and all that stuff, you know, because it's a great keepsake.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Well, George, as always, wonderful description of what's happening at the golf course. Stay well out there. Enjoy the day, and we'll talk later.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.